FM, transmitting chaos.
Hello comrades, we are with you again for the bad news of September. You will hear news from Athens and the rest of Greece. If you are interested in more information, do not hesitate to contact us. Keep fighting on air.
Vangelis Stathopoulos is violently arrested by the Greek Anti-Terrorist Unit on November 8, 2019. He is to later find out that he is accused of robbery of an OPAP mini casino play. While in custody in the police head office, Lefteris Khardalias, head of the Greek Anti-Terrorist Unit, informs him. We are aware that you are not linked with the robbery, but we've got a surprise for you, to be announced tomorrow. The so-called surprise was charging him of being an active member of the Revolutionary Self-Defense Group. As soon as he finds out that he is accused of, Vangelis Stathopoulos makes the following statement from within the police head office. This stacked show against me comes as a result of the oppressive policies implemented by the present Greek government against the anarchists and the anarchic movement in general. The authorities have repeatedly lied about the way we, the anarchists, act and behave, having in essence charged me of half the penal code for simply providing my assistance and solidarity towards an injured person. Acting with solidarity, I have indeed helped an injured person in need. I am an anarchist, a member of the anarchist movement. I deny all charges related to the robbery and any involvement with the Revolutionary Self-Defense Group. Vangelis Stathopoulos is declared to be under custody and will spend the next 14 months incarcerated in Larissa Detention Center, secluded from his lawyers and family. He is sent to trial on March 2021, having been summoned only 10 days in advance. During the course of the trial, all accusations will prove to have been prefabricated. Specifically, during the robbery of the OPAP mini casino play in Holargos, Vangelis Stathopoulos had just finished his daily classes as a kung fu instructor at his training school in downtown Athens, and at the same time of the incident, he was in the neighborhood of Exarchia. Three witnesses will attest his presence there and testify in front of the court. The co-accused DM, who in his initial statement indicated Vangelis Stathopoulos as the culprit of the robbery, had already retracted his statement, declaring it was a result of threats and suggestions dictated by the anti-terrorist unit. An unknown caller allegedly informs the anti-terrorist unit that Vangelis Stathopoulos was the culprit of the robbery. This is a well-known tactical practice of the unit, and its scope is to target members of the anarchist movement in the absence of substantial proof. All of Stathopoulos' lawyers repeatedly requests that the unit presents in court the caller ID in order to be able to verify its authenticity and validity were in vain. It was alleged that the Greek anti-terrorist unit does not process caller identification technology. The DNA mixture traced in the motorcycle used during the robbery, and which the unit attributes to Vangelis Stathopoulos, is proven to be ambiguous and as such not a reliable evidence. This is yet another well-known tactic of the anti-terrorist unit that has led to imprisonment of fellow anarchists in the past. The unit also claims that the Kypseli flat, where the ammunition used in several revolutionary self-defense strikes was found, belongs to Stathopoulos' father, whose name is Konstantinos and has no relation whatsoever with the flat's real owner, George Stathopoulos. This particular charge has been proven a fiasco during the trial, since there is no relation between the two persons but a mere synonymity. On top of everything else, the anti-terrorist unit presents basic athletic equipment found in the training school where Stathopoulos teaches the Wing Chun technique as bulletproof vests. Last but not least, Vangelis Stathopoulos' 1.93 cm height makes him distinguished through the crowd, yet not a single of the 38 witnesses has recognized him. Most of the witnesses are police officers that have witnessed strikes performed by the Revolutionary Self-Defense. Although during the course of the trial all charges against Stathopoulos have completely disintegrated, the prosecutor, Pieros, asked for his conviction. The judge, Maria Giannakopoulou, sentences him in 19 years of imprisonment. It is the same judge that had a few years ago sentenced Tasos Theofilou in 25 years of imprisonment, later reversed by the Court of Appeals. As an anarchist, Vangelis Stathopoulos has been active for years in the anarchist movement. During the years, he has faced various charges, such as being a member of another group, the so-called Revolutionary Fight, arrests, preventive arrests prior to demonstrations, and has been under continuous surveillance by the unit, both himself as well as people of his surroundings. In recent years, the Greek authorities have targeted the anarchist movement and violently suppressed it. They have been evacuating squads, beating anarchists, and illegally placing tracing devices in their vehicles. In an attempt to demoralize physically, mentally, and financially those still active and fighting, they tortured them, prosecuted and imprisoned them, or imposed strict restrictions and burdened them with high legal costs. In addition, the legal framework imposed by the Greek government allows for suppressing attempts against the anarchist movement and legalizes them by making use of the new legislation 187A. This refers to any action they deem as terrorist act. This legislation is continuously being enriched and modified as they see fit. It is used as a tool to impose eradicate punishment to a multitude of anarchists. The anarchist political identity has been criminalized in order to act as an avoidable example for whoever thinks to react within the framework of a broadened anti-suppressive movement or to anyone sympathizing with the movement and its members. The present government of Kyriakos Mitsotakis, which has been elected based on the law and order dogma, had to present results when it comes to police action, and the CIA awarded Michalis Chrysochoidis was to undertake that task. And so, instead of focusing their attention in the prevention of criminal acts, their first and main concern was to present the dissolution of the Revolutionary Self-Defense Group as their success story, a narrative that has reinforced the Mitsotaki agenda among its voters. When Vangelis Stathopoulos was asked, he provided first aid to an injured comrade and has as a result been charged with severe accusations and convicted in 19 years in prison. What they are trying to accomplish through Vangelis is to send a message to anyone still fighting and not bending their head, to all those who refuse to close their eyes and look the other way, and who be placing their freedom on the line, they remain humans. Through the words of Vangelis Stathopoulos, solidarity is what is being tried here through my case with the most severe accusations, solely for providing my assistance to an injured person. The prosecution and trial of my case is based solely on political criteria for choosing to stand with respect and solidarity consistently throughout my life. I have nothing more to offer than my life itself. I have nothing more to defend other than the continuous fight against the governments and capitalists' murderers raving. Comrade Vangelis, stay strong. We'll fight till the liberation of our anarchist comrade. Σκέφτομαι να μη σκεφτόμουν για ένα λεπτό. Παίρνω φορά, πέφτω πάνω στον τοίχο μου και διαλύομαι. Πέφτω πάνω στον τοίχο μου και διαλύομαι. Προσπαθώ όλο να φύγω, μα το λύομαι. Υπεραναλύω και υπεραναλύομαι. Σε ένα φτηνό μηχανισμό καταλύομαι. Πέφτω πάνω στον τοίχο μου και διαλύομαι.
Seven months in jail for nothing. The release of the Indian from the events of Nea Smyrni after 7 months of unjust and illegal detention was decided by the Council of Criminal Courts. The citizen had been accused of beating a police officer of the Delta Squad in the events of Nea Smyrni. The only accusation is the perforated and obviously false testimony of a relative. The citizen himself had presented from the first moment unshakable evidence, videos, photos, testimonies of his colleagues, that documented even the most skeptical that that day not only did he not hit the police, but was not even in Nea Smyrni, but many kilometers away. However, police and judicial authorities ignored the evidence, adopted the testimony of a false witness, and detained an innocent man for 7 months in prison. We ask, how can the process be delayed for so many months and the innocent citizen be deprived of his freedom? How can the state, the prosecuting and judicial authorities not bear any responsibility for the slander and suffering of a citizen? How many more indictments do we have to see in order for someone to be held accountable for setting up cases, making culprits and misleading public opinion? The pattern is now known. A. Announcement of the arrest of a citizen who meets certain criteria, appearance, politics, origin, to be considered disturbed, suspicious in mind, and generally convicted. Dissemination of data, testimonies, photographs and scenarios from Gada to police officers in the forms of leaks, exclusive information, and so on, and creation by the media of the image system of the alleged perpetrator. After the dust settles down, silence of possible facts in favor of the innocent citizen, closure of the case and court seal. Several years after acquittal and release, after the victim has been exhausted and the story has been forgotten by society. They do not make blunders, there are no fiasco. That's how they work. We wish freedom to our fellow citizen. The people of the struggle knew his innocence from the first moment.
I want your DNA now. The past year, our society faced an effort of strengthening of the Greek state in its interior. The government, using COVID-19 as an excuse, imposed restriction measures, lockdowns, curfew, and measures that suppress social and class fights, law against demonstration, recruitment of thousands of new cops, evacuation of squads, and prohibition of rallies. The grassroots were called once again to pay for the master crisis, mass dismissal and work regulations that come straight out of the dark ages, flexible working hours that usually result in unpaid overtimes and criminalization of strikes and unionization, are legalized by the new working bill proposed by Hatzidakis, Greek Minister of Labor. At the same time, students faced a new harsh restructuring that would exclude them from higher education depending on their class, while also establishing police forces in higher education institutions. And as the state, during the pandemic, let our healthcare system and the health workers hanging by the thread, state money was channeled towards the media and suppression forces. During these circumstances, the content of the Polytechnic uprising and the struggle for free education, healthcare, freedom resonated more than ever to the modern society. The fear of government for rallies and claiming our rights against the outrageous management of the pandemic led the state to a series of unprecedented moves. After constant pressure by the Greek police and at the time Minister of Public Order and Protection Chrysochoidis, the president of the National Technical University of Athens, Boudouvis, announced a lockout for many days in consideration of the anniversary of the 17th of November. For the people who belong to the new social movement, this was not a decision that could be overlooked. As we owe to our struggles, our history, and our comrades, we decided to break this lockout in action. A crowd of comrades, on the 12th of November 2020, entered the campus of the National Technical University of Athens, at the Patision Avenue, without the cops guarding the place noticing them, in an attempt to keep the place open for the memorial events of the 17th of November to take place. In the afternoon of the same day, a body consisting of students partaking in various student assemblies squatted the presidency of the International Technical University to make the authorities of the institution recall their decision for lockout. A day after, on the 30th of November, an almost cinematic evacuation and suppression of the two attempts took place. The units for order restoration evacuate all the place, arresting dozens of people. Cops of all units, fully armored, invade the campus and head towards the building of the administration, where after causing multiple damages to the place, postgraduate students even denounce the cops' actions and take the 25 people who were in the building to the General Police Directorate of Attica. There, after keeping us for hours in a tiny, crowded space without ventilation nor windows, they announced to us that we were under arrest. The indictment consisted only of misdemeanors, with most of the accusations being unsubstantial and based on the witnessing of the at the time security of the institution. On the 2nd of September 2001, and while we were waiting for our trial day for our case to be set, a comrade who was arrested for squatting the presidency building got a summon after the district attorney command by Nulli for mandatory DNA sampling by the authorities. 4 days later, we were informed by our lawyers that the 13 genetical male people arrested on the evacuation of the administration building and one more person whose presence in the building was identified by the Greek police by their fingerprints found in the place would be summoned by the police for mandatory DNA sampling as well. The ridiculous reasoning by the Greek police was that the genetic type of the unknown male found in two empty bottles in the administration building of NTUA identifies with that of the unknown male found from examining tissues with red spots that were foreclosed outside the flat building of Spiritikoupi Street, Athens, where after the early hours of the 7th of December 2014, unknown people attacked a group of quick response control forces. The genius of Greek intelligence chose to open a case from 2014 when after a crowded demonstration, a large group of people were clashing with the police forces trying to find suspects by on genetic samples found on non-legal mobile items. The first sample was found within the squad of the presidency building, which a large part of students' community supported, staff, students, doctorates. The other sample was found 6 years earlier in a busy part of Athens and was collected many hours after the event of that day. However, it was connected to them after an anonymous call to the Greek police. It is worth mentioning that already these days two people were arrested and accused of the attack, but because they were in Exarchia some hours after the event took place. As if the presence of someone in an area on the partaking to a political event constitutes a punishable action. The logical jumps and the anti-scientific method which the Greek police aims to use to create suspect is obvious. Let us not forget the usual tactic of pack-ups, fabricating cases and plots. Tasos Theophilou spent 5 years in prison with only proof, a deficient DNA sample and an anonymous testimony, only to triumphantly be declared innocent after time of soul-consuming legal processes. Iriana was sentenced to 13 years of prison with equally deficient evidence, so that she was later to be declared innocent some months earlier. At Skouries, where the whole community was resisting to the plundering of earth in their area from the Greek and foreign capitalists, the public prosecution sent summons of all the residents of the village to mandatory give DNA sampling in its efforts to find suspects and criminalize a just social fight. A more recent example is the prosecution of the 8 comrades from the Athens University of Economics and Business, who were accused for a specific case solely because of their social group, their political identity and their student status, and who were summoned to give DNA samples and fingerprints. This short but nonetheless abundant record help us realize the true motives and goals of the Greek police. Our DNA legally is an indication and not evidence for the presence of someone in a specific place, and the mandatory collection of its samples requires individualized serious indications for the partaking of a suspect to an illegal action and not for their partaking to communal exercising of their political rights. Additionally, according to the GDPR, the profiling through genetic analysis goes against the constitutionally established value of the person and their free personality development, specific manifestation of which is a right to informalization, self-determination. The Greek police is trying to build a genetic material database, even if this is not legally acceptable, so that they have to their possession for each time and case completely disputable evidence that will allow for innocent to be accused and people who partake to social and class fights to be targeted. In other words, they are trying through keeping records of our genetic material to create a list of suspects filled with names of those whose political views are in direct opposition with the state, the capital and the patriarchy, in direct opposition with fascists, the snitches and the burghers' values. The universities within which the 14, as members of the student society, politicize and socialize, have been rallying points of the government's political agenda. The talk about lawless sheltering the units, troublemakers and in general about divisions in power in areas of educational institutes brought on the front stage the law of Keramaios Chrysochoidis, which apart from downgrading that it would result in the educational function of the institute and the exclusion of large parts of the society from higher education, it also foregrounded the establishment of university police. About this issue, there were the most massive and long-lasting arousals of the past years, with rallies, demos and squads around the whole country. The plan for establishment of university police is now hanging on the thread with this identified suppression. However, cops are already in the unis. Research programs available to cops and to the cops of the intelligence service in our schools, and they are consciously searching for new ways to monitor the movements of those who politicize and struggle within the educational institutions. Considering the last events, however, it is obvious that even without the university police, the state will continue targeting fighters and repressing the struggle within and outside the unis. Ultimately, the prosecution of the summons we got from the district attorney is an issue that should concern everyone and especially those who struggle. That is because this seems aim to terrorize all those who are against oppression and authority. And while the state's power comes from the technological developments and terrorizing methods, our power comes from solidarity and comradeship. Two worlds in collision. The war rages. As we learned in our childhood, class against class, to the crushing of state and capitalism. Against all disciplining, against all mandatory rotating of DNA, solidarity and self-organization.
Education stuff. Large universal demonstrations happened last month in Athens, Thessaloniki, Patra and other big cities. The educational movement once again spoils their plans. Teachers block the evaluation by overwhelmingly voting in favor of the strike, over 90%. Student clubs and students are by their side. To hide its panic, the government chooses the well-known path of terrorism. Thus, the Minister of Education, Niki Kerameos, was found yesterday in the courts to file an appeal against a strike with huge acceptance. It is simple. The more the minister fails to impose her anti-educational and deeply reactionary in the field of education and educators, the more she will turn to judicial repression. The political choice of Kerameos to hastily drag the Education Federation to the courts and to declare the strike abstention illegal cannot hide that once again in politics career is faced with a strapazzo. The organic parts of education know what needs to be done, claim and fight. Tinos. The riot police closed Tinos port from night to morning for exclusive use for the sake of a private company. Cranes and trucks that will do the work for the installations of dozens of wind turbines were unloaded at night and circulated illegally on the island's road network since there is a decision that prohibits their movement, especially during the hours when they finally moved. However, the residents who react to the creation of the wind farm are not afraid and will continue this long-term battle until the end. At the same time, Tinians in Athens held a solidarity meeting while a number of local environmental initiatives sent racing solidarity greetings. This is the power of fair play. We are with them. Listen to the voice of the local communities, not the private wind farms that are designed for the profit. Tinos counted 9 wounded people from this battle.
Evia. The mobilization of the fire victims of Evia do not stop. Yesterday they mobilized outside the building of the region of Central Greece in Chalkida. His central motto was nothing more than their need to continue living and working in their place. Of course, this cannot be left aside from their opposition to the policy of the government, which, as we have been accustomed to for a very long time, seeks to turn another catastrophe and crisis into an opportunity, and obviously an opportunity for the few. This time, its policy is embodied in anti-corruption projects and in the bazaar for the owners of the large business groups that have been transformed. Once again, the burden does not fall on the needs of the inhabitants and the self-evident right to life and work, but also on the very essential protection of the environment. Nevertheless, the fire victims continue their struggle until their demands are met. This, as formulated by the Coordinating Committee of the residents of the area, are the following. Immediate implementation of the necessary anti-corrosion and anti-flood protection projects throughout the burned area. What actions have been taken by the region to finance the specific projects? Job security for woodpeckers. How their work is ensured in relation to the anti-corrosion projects and the corresponding projects for the reconstruction of the forest throughout the burned area? Recording of all damages. How is this process going for farmers and beekeepers? Compensation at 100% of the damage without terms and conditions for all damages. When will the damage assessment process begin? Because a significant part of the victims are left out of compensation. Provision of animal feed and bee feed for stock breeders and beekeepers. How to provide the necessary food for all the victims and in what depth of time given that grazing is prohibited for the next years. Ensuring compensation and loss of income to employees and professionals in all sectors of tourism food processing. How this process is progressing. What are the implementation schedules of all the above? University police. In the university institutions, business centers are expected to operate with the management of cameras that will be placed in the controlled access points, in common areas, and in laboratory spaces with expensive equipment. The construction of specific infrastructure such as magnetic gates, turnstiles, cameras and places for the creation of these business centers have not yet started in most of the university institutions. The university police officers, who will wear different colored uniforms, will receive orders from the operations center in case of detection of illegal actions, while they will conduct patrols inside the universities and will guard critical infrastructure and facilities. Last July, the recruitment competition for 400 people was completed, who will staff the new institution in the first stage, while 4,965 people had expressed interest in recruiting by submitting the necessary supporting documents. Following the publication of the tables, a period of 10 days was given, during which a large number of objections were submitted, which are still pending decisions in the Council of State. In the event that the COC decides, the recruits will enter the police schools for the basic training, the duration of which was reduced to 4 of the 6 months.
September 18, 2013. Golden Dawn Nazis kill Pavlos Fissas. September 18, 2021. Big protest in Keratsini. We will never forget Pavlos, who stood up and put up with the Nazis of Golden Dawn. Pavlos Fissas became a symbol for all, the known and the unknown, who were not afraid, who showed that fascism is doomed to lose and be crushed. We will continue to fight so that no one else is taken away from us again, so that the rotten, dangerous ideas and the system that gives birth to them are uprooted.